Welcome to Unmasked, the CCI Anesthesia Podcast, the show where we dive deep into the world of anesthesia practice improvement, quality enhancement, and the evolving landscape of healthcare. I'm Kiernan Zumwalt, your guide on this journey, as we explore the strategies, innovations, and stories that shape the future of anesthesia care. Pain management is more than just a hospital service. It's a commitment to enhancing quality of life through tailored, comprehensive solutions. From their innovative approaches and multidisciplinary strategies to their dedication to patient-centered care, CCI Anesthesia is setting new standards in the field. Join us as we discuss how CCI Anesthesia approaches pain management, the challenges they've overcome, and their vision for the future of pain care. Whether you're a healthcare professional, hospital administrator, or simply interested in the advancements in pain management, you won't want to miss this insightful conversation. Dr. Brian Schmutzler is on our panel today. Dr. Schmutzler received his medical degree and PhD from Indiana University School of Medicine. He completed an internship at St. Vincent Hospital and Health System in Indianapolis and an anesthesia residency at Indiana University School of Medicine with a special emphasis on regional anesthesia and ambulatory anesthesia. Dr. Schmutzler is the chief anesthesiologist in Mishawaka, Indiana, and is the executive vice president of medical affairs with CCI Anesthesia. Currently, Dr. Schmutzler actively practices anesthesiology and acupuncture in Indiana and Michigan. Dr. Schmutzler, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back again.
Also on the panel, Marguerite Garner is the Vice President of Operations, Medical Staff Services, and Compliance at CCI Anesthesia, where she strategically leads the Medical Staff Services Department, ensuring provider compliance, managing enrollment processes, and actively contributing to quality improvement and clinical governance. Marguerite, welcome to Unmasked.
Thank you.
Marguerite, to kick things off, can you give us an overview of how CCI Anesthesia works with hospitals to develop and integrate pain management programs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that we really try to focus on from the onset of someone asking about pain is to really determine what type of pain practice they're interested in doing. There's so many different areas that you can actually practice within pain. You can do acute, you can do chronic, you can have medication management. A lot of times the providers that are referring patients over, you want to see what type of patients they want to refer. Do they want to have blocks done? Do they have concerns with physical therapy before they transition into a surgical practice for pain? And so you really want to have conversations with the C-suite, the executives on the team, and say, what kind of pain practice are you interested in doing? And on top of that, what kind of pain practice are your referring providers wanting to have done within your hospital or your surgery center or your outpatient surgery center? So we really kind of hone in on those specific questions, and that allows us to kind of deep dive into what kind of pain practice we feel we need to tailor specifically for that location.
And what are some of the biggest logistical challenges that hospitals face when implementing pain management services, and how does CCI help overcome those challenges?
I think a lot of times it has to do with them saying they want one, but they don't know exactly what they need. You can, like I said a little bit ago, you can have blocks that you do, or you actually have patients that are receiving blocks from your interventional radiology department, and what you actually need is to have a relationship with a spine surgeon that can take them to do certain procedures also, like surgical procedures that are being done. I think that's probably the biggest issue that you run into, is they don't really know half the time. They know that there's a service, they know these patients want to be seen, they know they have to be seen, they know that there's a gap in the continuity of care for the patients, but they don't specifically have enough information to be able to make a decision on how they want to guide that forward. And so we would come in and we would say, I have a questionnaire. This questionnaire is, we're going to send it to your OR director, we're going to send it to your primary care providers, we're going to send it to your orthopedic surgeons, and we're going to ask them, what exactly is it that you're seeing there are gaps in? And then we will look and we will say, this is what we think you are needing. Does this fall in line with what you think you want?
I think it often comes from the medical staff, right? The medical staff, primary care is a good example. They'll say, hey, we don't have anybody to refer our pain patients to. And as Marguerite said, I don't know exactly what that means until we dive in deeper. Does that mean you need somebody to do procedures? Do you need somebody to medical manage? And so I think, you know, the CEOs of hospitals take that from the medical staff and say, all right, we need a pain program. And that's obviously where Marguerite and her team come in. How do we fit what you need?
So Brian, from a clinical perspective, can you walk us through the approach that CCI takes in managing a pain program and what makes it so effective?
Sure, yeah, and as Marguerite said, there's acute pain, chronic pain, and kind of everything in between. I think overall, as an acute pain practice, we bring that to essentially every practice that we have within CCI. We have within our resources, our chiefs folder and our online resources, we have all kinds of ERAS protocols, which is something you'll maybe hear of, particularly those in anesthesia know, enhanced recovery after surgery protocols. And that's not just doing pain management, but that's, you know, from beginning to end, you know, helping with gut motility, helping with recovery, physical therapy, that sort of stuff. So we bring that to all our practices. The specific practices where we do chronic pain is a little bit different. Again, as Marguerite said, we try to integrate that with our anesthesia program as much as possible, and then be able to use the whole acute pain to chronic pain as a spectrum where we're taking care of everything.
You've worked with a variety of patients. What are the most common types of pain that you encounter, and how do you and your team address them through interventional procedures?
Obviously acute pain is post-surgical pain, so that typically we handle with regional anesthesia, acute pain nerve blocks, or neuraxial blocks. And then, in terms of the spectrum of chronic pain, you've got probably the most common is chronic back pain, whether that comes from radiculopathy or issues with the nerves, or axial back pain that can come from the joints or the muscles. A lot of different ways you can handle those. It's often starting with physical therapy and medication, and then moving from that into procedures. And then I guess from there, joint pain, so knee pain, shoulder pain. We often do injections for that, inject a pain medication or a numbing medication, and then on top of that, a steroid. And then there's some of the alternative things that we do in some of our practices, PRP, red light therapy, that sort of stuff. That's all part of an integrative pain practice. I personally do acupuncture, not as often as I used to, but that certainly is helpful for acute and chronic pain as well.
Marguerite, with a shortage of pain providers across the country, how does CCI address access issues in underserved communities, and what impact does that have on patient care?
So I think the biggest concern you're always going to run into when it comes to pain providers is traditionally interventional pain providers are in more populated areas. Underserved communities necessarily don't have it. If you're in a more rural location, you don't necessarily have access to those sorts of providers. And so CCI is obviously very pro-CRNA. And one of the things that we really like to focus on is finding individuals that have a pain fellowship that they've already completed. And if they haven't, then partnering with other anesthesia providers that offer pain, with interventional pain providers that have experience doing pain, obviously, and then having those conversations and saying, how do you feel about training a CRNA? And we'll do a tiered approach where they learn how to do epidural steroid injections. They learn how to do cervical steroid, epidural steroid injections. You kind of go from one level to another level. And then eventually you can get to a point where they're offering radio frequency ablations. And so the goal is that we would come in and we would find a CRNA and we would say, hey, you've indicated that you have an interest in doing something a little bit more than anesthesia, and you've heard about pain. How do you feel about partnering with us? And we'll get you trained with someone, and we'll have you do a 3-month training for step one and a 3-month training for step two, and then eventually get on to the higher level of care that you can get through pain practices. And once they feel comfortable doing all of it, then they can do truly every single level of pain, with the exception of implantables and surgical related procedures that they can do. So it's really important that you have CRNAs, in my opinion, that are willing and able to do it. I think that we have a large number that are actively doing acute pain now. And so the transition from acute pain over to chronic pain, it is a transition. Of course, it's a transition, but it is an easier transition because they're already very familiar with how the nerves work and how the medications work and how all of those things work.
So, Brian, how does pain management benefit the patient, and what outcomes can hospitals expect when they implement a pain program at their facility?
Sure. So acute pain and chronic pain are probably one of the biggest issues of, you know, our generation. You look back to the late 90s, early 2000s, you've got all the opioid epidemic that's continuing now. And so effectively treating acute pain, which is mostly what I do, but also chronic pain when it converts to that point, is critical to prevent bad outcomes on the back end. And so that's huge for us. That's the probably the biggest reason that we're involved in the acute pain and chronic pain is to make sure that patients are appropriately treated for pain and then are not seeking dangerous ways to treat that pain themselves.
With the national focus on reducing opioid prescriptions, how does CCI balance effective pain relief with minimizing opioid use, and what alternative treatments do you emphasize?
Overall, I think that the use of opioids has declined quite a bit, particularly in the chronic pain and acute pain field. So in the acute pain area, we do nerve blocks primarily, and then sort of the non-opioid pharmacologic treatments, anti-inflammatories, things like acetaminophen or Tylenol. And then there's some other medications that we can give patients. Gabapentin is another one that we often use. And so we just try to avoid opioids altogether on the front end because the more you avoid them for the first 24 to 48 hours after surgery, you're much less likely to need the opioids further on at a week or 2 weeks or 6 months. And then again, trying to tailor a chronic pain practice where we're not necessarily just giving opioids, which is what, again, in the 90s and early 2000s, a lot of pain practices were, but really doing the procedures that Marguerite talked about, you know, treating patients' back pain with ESIs, facet joint blocks, RFAs. I know we don't generally get into the implantables, but there are certainly ways that you can treat pain longer term where you're doing spinal cord stimulators, which, again, I don't think we do a lot of that, and implantable pumps where medications are delivered. So I think in general, anesthesia has moved away from opioids almost completely towards non-opioid interventions.
I do actually want to point out that one of the things that Brian mentioned was that you do have situations where you can't do stimulators and pain pumps without having the support of already going through the process for pain injections. Your insurances don't pay for it. You have to see a certain reduction in pain without the use of medications and with utilization of stimulators and things like that through trials. So it's really important that you do have a pain practice if you have a population that needs those sorts of implants, because you can justify it and it actually is compensated and reimbursed through your insurance programs, as opposed to having them start the program and then they can't even end up going through the implantables because they haven't done the support through physical therapy, through RFAs, through injections of different types and trials.
How is it that you both collaborate to ensure a seamless integration of clinical excellence and administrative efficiency in CCI's pain management services?
I think for me, I have a tremendous amount of respect for clinicians, just in general. I've been doing this for a long time, and I know where my area is, and I know where their area is. And so I think the collaboration is truly that. It's, hey, this is what I think we need to do from an administrative perspective, from an efficiency perspective. I've noticed that your injection time usually was 7 minutes, but it's actually 12 minutes, and you could probably get in another patient or two if you decrease that time. And so from an efficiency perspective, from an administrative perspective, we look at it and we evaluate those things to see how we can increase a provider's production, but also still maintain taking care of their patient. And if I say something that makes them uncomfortable because they're like, no, that patient needed 20 minutes, that patient didn't need 10 minutes, then I would say, you're the doc, I'm not gonna argue with you, or you're the CRNA, I'm not gonna argue with you. And so I think if as long as I stay in my area and I bring up things that are, you know, important from a collaborative perspective, usually there's mutual respect. And usually they can say, okay, this is what I think and this is what I needed to do in this scenario. Whereas on my side, it's, you know, it's like regulations and it's policies and how do we get things to go through the process. But as a clinician, they obviously, they matter more, I think, than an administrative team, but we cannot do it without each other.
I think what I hear from clinicians, particularly in the pain aspect, is that what CCI provides is a few things. Number one, the entire management end of things. Just like in anesthesia, most clinicians don't want to have to deal with setting up an office, hiring staff, doing all that kind of stuff. So that's a big thing that CCI offers. I think on top of that, what we can offer because we're an anesthesia management company is it's really hard to get a pain practice started. It's not like you drop in day one and you have 50 injections 3 days a week and a full slate of clinic patients. You need to ease into that. And in the meantime, you can do anesthesia at one of our practices. You know, 3 days a week of anesthesia and two of pain, or four and one, or however it's set up that works for the hospital, for the clinician. So I think that's a big thing that we offer as CCI, is that flexibility. You won't find that if you go hang a shingle and try to just do chronic pain on your own.
Yeah, absolutely not. There's definitely a transition period. And even if you have a lot of pain patients and you've done evaluations and you're like, I think we can have 2,000 pain patients in a year, you're not going to have that 2,000 pain patients day one, right? And you really need to understand that there is a threshold. There's a threshold for what makes sense. I think a lot of times one of the things that people don't necessarily pay attention to, but is the importance of having a really fantastic relationship with your C-arm fluoroscopy tech, right? That is something that is so important to being successful, because you guys end up working in tandem, essentially. The provider and the C-arm tech, you know how they move, you know what images they want, you know how they want to move things and tweak things, and if they go from a different angle. And so having a provider part of the conversations and part of that interview process and part of saying, this person really knows what they're doing, it really impacts how quickly you can get things done, the outcomes, because if you don't have the right view, then you might not be injecting exactly where you want to. But if you have a good relationship, because you were part of that selection process, you were part of the team that said, I want to hire this person, and I think that they're going to be a really good part of our team, I think it really impacts how things move forward in the future also. So it is, you do have to transition to it. It's not a, you know, day one, 35, 40 patients. It's like day one, 7 to 12. Like, it's a smaller sort of transition into what you do.
Brian, can you share a success story where the personalized treatment plan developed by your team made a significant impact on a patient's quality of life?
I want to look at this more, at least from an acute pain perspective, of how we changed processes. I work at a primarily orthopedic hospital most of the time, and what we've done over the years is really change the way that we do, particularly total knees was a big one for us. So we had initially done some of the old school stuff, which was more putting in epidurals and then doing femoral blocks, which went out of favor about 10 years ago, and then changed to doing spinal blocks and some of the specific nerve blocks in the leg. The adductor canal block was essentially what we were doing primarily. Now we've actually gone to doing not only the adductor canal, but an IPAC block, which blocks the posterior portion of the knee, and genicular nerve blocks, which blocks some of the other portions of the knee. And so I think for us, overall, our total knees have done better with their acute pain, better with their physical therapy, and overall better outcomes. So from a acute pain perspective, that's one thing I can share. From a chronic pain perspective, you know, I don't do a ton of chronic pain, you know, in an office and doing ESIs. I've done some ESIs as part of my practice, just kind of in the hospital when it's needed. But certainly, you know, I can think of three or four patients who came in and had excruciating radiculopathy that we were able to get them feeling better with an ESI and then move them on to either a surgical colleague or to a pain physician who does surgical pain, putting in a spinal cord stimulator.
How does the multidisciplinary approach, where anesthesiologists collaborate with primary care physicians and specialists, enhance patient outcomes in pain management?
I'll let Marguerite take that question. She's a little more familiar with that than I am.
So I feel like from the very beginning, primary care physicians can typically identify whenever they have a patient that they know is going to benefit from having, you know, pain interventions of any sort. And so you have to have a true multidisciplinary team. You have to have a true, you know, continuity of care from the very beginning, from the very end. Like, you can have a patient come into a PCP and they can say, my hand's numb. Like, most of the time, if you're 20 to 40 years old, you really shouldn't have numbness in your hands, right? And so they're like, my hands are numb. And then the PCP will send them off to do nerve conduction studies, or they'll send them off and have some x-rays done, or they'll put you in wrist splints, right? And then once they evaluate that 3, 4, 5 months down the line, they go, okay, well, you're still not having success with this. Let me send you to a physical therapist. So now you're involving another layer, which is the physical therapy team. Then the physical therapist evaluates it, and let's say your nerve conduction study comes back and it's, well, you have carpal tunnel. Okay, so now I'm going to send you over to a hand surgeon or to an orthopedic surgeon, because this is actually a carpal tunnel patient and not a spine or pain or nerve patient, essentially. Or you can go the route and you can say, this is actually a patient that has some sort of herniations in their neck, some sort of cervical spine herniations that are impacting their hands. When you have a patient like that, now they're going to a pain provider, and the pain provider can say, okay, well, you went to physical therapy. We know you did a nerve conduction study. We know that your PCP has given you some medications and they've offered you wrist splints. So now we're going to come to me and I'm going to treat you as a pain patient. And this is what we're going to do. And we're going to target this approach through interventions for injections of certain types of injections. Once they're done with that, sometimes you're great. Sometimes you never have to go back again. Sometimes you have 6 months down the line and you're like, I can feel it, but it's not as bad as it was. Sometimes eventually the patient does need to end up having a surgical intervention because maybe they have some cervical concerns in their neck. And ultimately the entire time, the primary care physician is involved in this and they're aware of what is going on. They get all the notes. The patient still follows up with them the entire time. And so the entire time that this patient is being seen, it really is a true multidisciplinary approach. And everybody is aware of what's going on because at the end of the day, you want the patient to feel better. You want them to be done. Pain, in my opinion, and I think I remember hearing this when I was in the hospital, post-operative pain is going to be there. You cannot remove it. It's never going to go away until it goes away. And so it's the same sort of thing with like chronic pain. There is such a thing where it's not going to be 100% all the time. You will still at times have some residual things, but I feel like if you can turn a bottle and you can actually turn the bottle and it doesn't hurt, that's a big jump from not even being able to turn a bottle lid anymore.
Absolutely. And to expand on that a little bit, Marguerite, what makes CCI's continuity of care model so effective in improving both patient retention and patient satisfaction?
I feel like our approach, when we evaluate this with the team, with the providers, it's about streamlining, right? Like, we don't want to have patients visit us for the rest of their lives. You really don't want to have a patient that's a chronic pain patient that is a frequent flyer that's coming in every 2 months, every 3 months, every 4 months to constantly do things. There are times when that's going to happen, but the goal is for us to be able to identify, have great teams in place that we can say, these are what you need to do. Maybe approach a surgical intervention if that's the kind of candidate they are earlier instead of waiting. I think that CCI overall pays attention to data, to numbers, to metrics, to reimbursement, to how much time a patient is in a room, to like, we pay attention to a lot of different things. And so as long as we're being efficient and we're being effective, we will see the patient and then eventually that patient will go back to their PCP and you will always have that patient within your population of patients. Like, you want to treat them with us, with your community, and not have them drive an hour, 2 hours down the road to have something done. We want to be able to do everything. And as long as we're managing it from the starting point to the end point, I think that we're successful with doing that so that we don't have to refer them across a state in some of our more rural areas.
It's ultimately an access to care issue. And I think because of our presence in smaller communities and critical access hospitals, offering that to them, I don't think there's any other company or even single provider who really is able to do that. So by giving these communities access to acute and chronic pain care, I think is critical to the communities themselves.
What administrative strategies are in place to ensure the success and efficiency of CCI's pain management service across a variety of hospital systems?
I think that one of the biggest things you can pay attention to is that with CCI, our biggest focus is making sure that we have a three-pronged approach to patient care. And that would be, what does the hospital need? What does the patient need? And what does CCI provide? And how can we address anything from a pain patient perspective to make sure these patients are taken care of, involving the hospital, CCI, and the patients all together?
Similar approach that we use for anesthesia management contracts as well, making sure that we're meeting the needs of the hospital, the patient, and the clinicians as well.
Brian, managing both acute post-operative pain and chronic conditions can be challenging. How does CCI's clinical strategy help address these effectively?
Again, I would go back to the fact that we have so many resources within the company. We have them available on our our Chiefs folder and on some of our online resources. And then we have physical resources within the company. Marguerite's a great resource for the operational end of things in pain management. And we have several physicians and CRNAs within the company who have experience and are currently doing chronic pain. And so I think just having all those resources within the company helps to move things forward with CCI and treating these patients well from acute pain to chronic pain.
And Marguerite, how does CCI ensure that its pain management services remain adaptable to the specific needs of each hospital that it partners with?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is making sure that you have a really great relationship with your administrative team at the C-suite level, at the hospital level. You want to know what they need. You want to know what their expectations are. Having monthly meetings with them and evaluating numbers and how many certain types of patients you have coming through. If they say, you know what, I've noticed that we have X number of patients, X number of days, do you think we can plan to have another provider come in? Because that's possible. When you have a very busy practice, we have to adapt to what the needs are that you have. And obviously, I'll be able to look at it and I'll look and I'll say, okay, we're right to this point. We're at an area where we need to increase it. We're at an area where we need to add another provider. But if the hospital is recognizing that too, we really need to be able to make a decision quickly. We need to be able to look at it and say, okay, let's add this extra half day. Let's do what we need to. So I think overall, having a really great relationship with your C-suite, maintaining open dialogue and communication, having monthly meetings, checking in with the providers, checking in with the administrative team to see what they need is really, really critical to making sure that CCI is able to offer and do what the hospital needs to manage their patients.
What do you both see as the future of pain management in healthcare, and how is CCI preparing for these changes on both the clinical and operational fronts?
So I'd say from a clinical perspective, there's a lot of new stuff coming out, a lot of new ways to do RFAs, a lot of new pharmaceuticals coming out to treat pain in a non-opioid fashion. And then, you know, you've got your classic techniques. I mean, everybody knows how to do an epidural steroid injection or a medial branch block. But I think there are going to be some changes in the way they're approached. I mean, one of the biggest changes in chronic pain is when we went from doing transforaminal lumbar epidural steroid injections and cervical epidural steroid injections to doing more transforaminal instead of interlaminar. That was a big change that happened probably the early 2000s, where you can target the nerves a lot more easily. And so I think there's going to be more of those technological advances going forward that I think will help quite a bit in chronic pain management in general from a clinical perspective.
I can say too, just from my experience, when I first started managing pain practices and working in an ambulatory surgery center as the administrator there, we had radiofrequency ablations being done and they were hot. Like it was truly like a laser sort of hot radio frequency ablation. And now since I started doing it, they have cool, you know, ablations essentially, which are entirely different, but they offer the same sort of outcome that the patient needs. Or even from an insurance perspective, there's always ebbs and flows on what insurers are willing to pay for and what they're not willing to pay for. And so we have to be aware of what those changes are. That way we can make sure that we're providing the right services to the patients and that the patient doesn't have some astronomical, you know, payment afterwards because their insurance company changed it. I've definitely seen some changes with cervical epidural steroid injections not having the same reimbursement. If you have anesthesia, they won't allow that anymore. When I first started, they did. And then apparently in like the early 2000s, they didn't either. So it seems like every few years there's a change in managing those sorts of patients. And I think it's just inevitably going to end up changing no matter what. I think, in my opinion, if healthcare doesn't change with times, you're going to run into issues. And I think that we just have to keep our finger on the pulse of what's exactly going on.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. I want to extend a huge thank you to Dr. Brian Schmutzler and Marguerite Garner for sharing their insights and expertise on CCI Anesthesia's comprehensive pain management services. It's been fascinating to hear how both the clinical and administrative sides work together to provide such high-quality care for patients and valuable solutions for hospitals. Unmasked is brought to you by CCI Anesthesia, leaders in anesthesia services for over 20 years. Subscribe to Unmasked, the CCI Anesthesia podcast, today so you never miss an episode. For more resources and information, visit the CCI Anesthesia website at cciAnesthesia.com. We look forward to having you with us next time as we continue to unveil the remarkable stories and innovations shaping the future of anesthesia care. Until then, stay curious, stay informed, stay safe, and we'll see you next time.